Welcome, everybody. It's Elaine. It is Wednesday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, June 13th, 2018. This is usually Diane's call, but we're switching today, so you get me today. And we are going to be talking about keeping it simple. So let's start with check-ins and see where everybody is, and we'll go from there. Who wants to share a celebration?
Well, Tyler's finishing sixth grade a week from today. Yay.
Congratulations. It's almost there.
Almost.
So close you can feel it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
awesome.
He's... Yeah.
What?
First year in middle school, and... We're really excited about that.
Yeah, it's a good completion, a good rounding. And
yeah.
What do you want to celebrate about your role in being where you are now?
Just figuring out how to work with him and his IEP teacher has been wonderful in helping to get him through sixth grade.
Awesome. Okay. So it sounds like it's been a good teamwork relationship with her, and you
yeah.
feel like you've been doing some good work yourself.
Yeah.
Good. Cool. Joy, what about you? What do you want to celebrate today?
Pretty similar. Marco is 7, so he's finishing up first grade. So I've been, over the last couple weeks, kind of making the rounds, seeing his teacher, seeing where he ended up, and it was just really great to hear them say how well he did over the year from the beginning to the end, and just his maturity level raising and, you know, his focus and sticking to what he needs to stick to when he's at school. And so it was just really, really excited to see all the work that we're doing is something's coming of it. It's actually working. You can't see it day
exactly
by day, but when you see it all together, it's working.
Yeah. So since both of you are at this sort of end of the school year completion thing and kids are getting all these report cards and all that kind of stuff, What if you were the school write, or maybe not the school, if you were writing your evaluation for you as a parent, you know, not a grade, but the, you know, that one sentence at the end that sometimes you get that says, like, here's how the kid did or whatever, what would you say about you and your role as a parent? Catherine, this year, Catherine, or this year, Joy, what would you say?
I would probably say supportive. I mean, this, you know, coming from kindergarten to first grade, you know, it's totally different. You start having homework and things like that. So I think it was just supportive, like trying to figure out how he's going to get through the day, and then aftercare, and then getting home and doing what we need to do, and just trying to work that out with him instead of for him necessarily.
Ooh.
So I would say supportive.
So this year, so like if you were getting an evaluation this year, Joy learned how to understand what Marco's needs were and how to support him and include him as
mm-hmm.
part of that process.
Right. Yeah, I think one of my big things in starting this program has been me working out how to meet him where he is.
Great.
That's my challenge.
Well, and it
so.
Feels like you're making progress.
Little bit by little bit, yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Catherine, what about you?
I think giving him more independence when he doesn't want to do his homework or he fights back on his homework, you know, Mm-hmm. If you turn it in like that, it's, you know, your issue. And we've had times where we've let him go various places on his scooter or bike, and just working on his independence, you know, trying to let him go a little at a time.
So this year, Catherine really focused on fostering independence and letting go to avoid conflicts.
Yeah. And, you know,
and what was the impact on your relationship of doing that?
I think it's better. We only give him one or two instructions, you know, and beyond that, we don't remind him anymore, and or he gets mad when we ask him to do things, and have, you know, has to give him like 10 minutes to cool off, and then he generally, you know, does it. And, you know, chores and things. We've limited,
I'm just trying to bottom line it. I don't want to, you know, take the whole thing. I'm just trying to, I just want you two to see not just where they are, but what your role has been in it. Like, what have you done to shift? So what you're doing is focusing on letting go. And Joy, what you're doing is focusing on meeting him where he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And each of you, it's part of the growth that they're having is because you're shifting your approach and allowing them to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just want you, oftentimes I hear this from parents a lot. It's like, well, he matured or he this or that. It's like, and you were part of that. And I want you to see the part of it that you were. Because we so rarely give ourselves enough credit, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So where do you want to take aim this week? What's on your focus for next?
I think for me, after, you know, reading the Keeping It Simple, I'd like to continue on with some of the stuff that I've been working on. I've been working on, like, the nighttime routine and, you know, working to find the right motivator, you know, asking for help from my husband when I start to get frustrated and scaffolding where I need, because I know that he gets tired and it gets harder and harder for him to get through the routine at night. But with the end of the school year, like, everything's going to change. Summer's here. You know, it's where, you know, we have somewhat of a different routine. He'll get home earlier than he normally did, but we, you know, we still have to do the things that we need to do. So I really want to focus on making sure that I can build in some of that structure so that he, you know, he is still reading and all that kind of stuff that we did in the school year, but still, you know, having a little bit more relaxation time and bringing in the things that I've been learning about motivators to kind of see how that works.
Okay. So there's a strategy, right, that's about motivation.
Right.
What's the change you want to see?
I think it's the change that I'm still trying to see, and I haven't quite got it there, which is when it comes to, like, the morning routine, he does well, lickety-split. Nighttime, it's very hit or miss. So I was trying to mess around with the motivators that I was using, but it's been a little difficult as we've gotten towards the end of the year because, you know, there's different excitement. Every day they're playing, you know, new party games and everything. There's barely any school stuff going on anymore.
Right, yeah, for sure.
So So I was trying to, and I haven't quite got there yet, which is why I want to keep working on it, is getting us to a better, more relaxing end of the night routine. So which for me, so that was him doing what he needs to do without so much arguing, yelling, whatever the case may be. And then with that, me figuring out because he does need extra help at night. I can't have that expectation that it's, 7:30 at night, he's been up all day, he needs the extra help, but where does he need that help and where do I need to put those things in place to get us to the night so we can keep that more relaxing vibe where I don't get frustrated, he doesn't get frustrated, and everybody gets where they need to be by 8:30.
All right, so now I want you, I heard what you said. I want you to come back and bottom line it for yourself and for me. So what's the change you want to see? Bottom line.
I want to see him get through, or both of us get through a nighttime routine consistently without a lot of drama. Is that bottom line enough?
Yeah, so you want to, so what I'm hearing, is the focus more on the routine or minimizing drama at night?
I would have to say minimizing, I don't know, that's a tough one, because I think they both feed into one another. So like if we can get through the routine, that would automatically eliminate the drama, because it's the routine that causes the drama of, I don't want to brush my teeth, it's boring, I want to, drag my feet and not get changed, all that kind of stuff. That's what creates the drama because we're asking him 100 times to get changed.
Okay, so stop for a minute. We're bottom lining here. The change you want to see is?
Him getting through his routine.
Okay, so routine is a big, that's lots of things. Is there one particular aspect of it that you want to make sure he masters? That's sort of like saying I want mornings to be better.
Yeah. So I would say that maybe it's less procrastination. Would that be a good – I'm trying to think if that's a good articulation of it. Because it's not that he can't do the stuff. It's that – or maybe it's the distraction that he can't – like it's, go up and, get changed. And so it's, I got to get my stuffed animals. And it's like all these little things that he's squirreling on instead of going up and doing what, or, doing what he needs to do. So maybe it's.
So you want to stop the stalling.
Yes.
Okay. Can you hear how that's really different from I want to get the routine going?
Mm-hmm.
So what's different about it? If you say, okay, the focus here is we want to stop him from stalling so much.
Well, I mean, that definitely seems harder than just getting through steps. But I mean, I guess that's the root cause of why he can't get through the steps.
Right. Well, and also probably fundamental to his awareness of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if we're focusing instead of now do this, like, wow, this stalling thing, get curious about what's happening with the stalling, like what's causing it, what's driving it. Is it distraction? Is it he doesn't want the day to end? Is like, what is it? Then your solutions for it may be different.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, Yes, and I believe that he doesn't want the day to end. It's not. I think he creates the distraction because.
All right, I don't want to dive into it too much right this minute. I just want you to get clear on what you're trying to achieve.
Okay.
So that you can begin to come to learn about it and come up with strategies for it. Okay.
Okay.
So for right now, I think what I'm hearing is that the change you want to see, the place you want to take aim is to address the stalling, try to stop the stalling that happens in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. And Joy, what about you?
This is Catherine.
Oh, sorry. I got you all backwards. Sorry.
Yeah.
Joy is stopping the stalling.
I'm stopping the stalling.
Okay, sorry about that. Catherine.
Our summer is a little bit different because Tether spends all of July at Camp Kodiak.
Awesome.
Have you heard of it?
Oh, of course. We had her as a guest expert.
Oh, Jeff?
Yeah, I interviewed Ilana. Ilana.
Okay, yeah.
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 She's one of the founder's daughters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he'll be up there in July.
Brilliant.
It's a phenomenal camp. This is the third year that he's doing.
Brilliant.
And so I think
so the change you want to see or the place you want to focus is what?
Well, I think for us, it's David and I need to take a step back from having him in the camp and refocus things that we want to work on with him.
So narrow that in, because that's pretty vague to take aim on.
I think organization and, you know, both at school and at home, he's very disorganized. His RSP teacher works with us at school, but just more organization at home. And
so let me target you in a little bit, because taking aim on organization is kind of like taking aim on mornings, right? It's huge. So, and you got a month or a couple of weeks before he goes to camp. So what do you want to focus on between now and the time he goes to camp?
He has a lot of stuff, you know, lying around the house. And I would like him to pick up or weed through the things that he no longer plays with, things that are broken.
So you want to get him to purge?
Yes.
Okay.
And
is this about helping him do it? Is it about getting him buy-in to do it? What is the piece of the purge that...
I think I need to help him at first and then let him do it on his own. But he is a hoarder. So...
pretty typical, just so you know.
Yeah.
Not unusual. My daughter used to save, like, she would find empty bullet fragments on the road and save them, like stupid stuff. We don't even have guns. I mean, it's not like we're shooters or anything.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she would just come home with the most weird random things.
Yeah.
So I just want to sort of normalize that for you a second.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing you saying is you want to sort of reduce the clutter of stuff, and you want to help him do it and then also empower him to do some of it independently.
Yeah.
So it's sort of helping him come up with a plan for reducing the clutter.
Yeah.
Or a process.
Yeah.
Getting him going. Getting him going on reducing the clutter. Do you expect it all done before camp is starts?
I would like to see him, like, 50 minutes of, decluttering or throwing
something. So can I encourage
away.
You, rather than to focus on the time, to focus on, like, identify one area or one space or one something where he can visually see it and see the change? Because if you say, I want you to spend 30 minutes on this, you're going to come back in, you're going to see no progress, and he's going to say, I've been doing this for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that is clear-cut is the Legos and whatever on the coffee table.
Okay, so so you can start with his stuff in the is that the family room?
Yeah.
Or a living room? Okay, so take aim on that first.
Okay, yeah.
The more specific you can get, my son is 17, and his assignment, I should know this by now, right? His assignment before I got back from this trip I was on was he had to clean his room, and you should never say clean your room because that's way too general. But I thought we had talked about what it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I came back and he was all proud of himself for having cleaned his room because he cleaned up the floors. He had not gotten to the surfaces, and I had apparently not specified that he needed to do the surfaces, not just the floors. Right? And he's 17. Right?
Yeah.
Are you following?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Heather's 12 and a half. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm with you on, you know, taking aim on purging his stuff before. That's where you're general. But I'm urging you, as you work with him on it, to focus on one space, one section, one category, narrow it as specifically as you can, one thing at a time.
Okay.
Okay. Well, first you'll do the Legos, then you'll do the clothes, then you'll do what?
That I got. The one
okay,
thing.
Okay, and know that it will take longer for him to do it, but if you can get him involved with the process of doing it and learning it, it will take longer to get it done than if you were to do it with him,
mm-hmm.
but he'll own it differently.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. So we've got getting him going on reducing the clutter, and we've got stopping the stalling, right? As places to take aim. And today's topic is keep it simple. So I'm not going to talk a lot, because I want to keep it simple. But I really love this notion because I think we tend to get we tend to make things more complicated than they need to be. And sometimes kids with executive function issues really tend to make things more complicated than they need to be because they don't see the simple path, right? They
mm-hmm.
because they don't have a good sequential planning process. They go from A to Z to X to B to, you know, and so it complicates things sometimes because they don't think sequentially. And sometimes it complicates things just because it's more interesting or, you know, but I could do this. And then if I do that, you know, they have these complex brains. And so sometimes they make things complicated that way. And then sometimes we make them too complicated. Like I was terrible at creating reward charts with 20 million things in it and 12 different points for 5 different things. And, like, it was impossible for them to remember what they were supposed to do. It was impossible for me to track what they were doing. And it set us all up for failure. And I did it for years before I finally figured out that the simpler, the better. It's sort of like if you take that Scandinavian design approach to management, right? Simple lines, keep it simple. Don't make it too cluttered or messy. And so that's whenever we're doing anything, like even this process that we've gone through in the last 10 minutes of just, it's taken 10 minutes to really get clear on where you're taking aim, right? Because we could taking aim on clutter or taking aim on evenings is huge and overwhelming and way too complicated to try to really get your head around. But when you narrow in and you take aim on stalling during bedtime, during getting ready for bed, or cleaning up the Legos on the coffee table, that's doable. It's manageable. It's clear. It's concise. You can see what it is. You can see what it's not. You can see some successes, right? There's something almost elegant about taking aim on something very targeted and very simple and seeing the result. Are either of you the kind of people who you like to check off our list or you like to feel something's completed?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So have you ever put something on a list to show yourself that you had done it?
Yes.
Occasionally.
Guilty.
Yeah. Okay, me too. I have. I don't do it a lot, but I have done it. Okay. There's a simple pleasure in completion, right?
Yes.
There's something, it feels like, okay, I can see what that is. And keeping it simple is kind of like that. It's about making it simple enough so that we can see what it is and what it isn't, so that we can track it, we can manage it, and we can feel the success of it, because that success is what's going to lead to other successes. And I'd rather have him do really well at cleaning up the Legos than do just okay at cleaning up his room and then feeling like, I just don't know how to do this. So when we keep it simple, we give them an opportunity for success. Is this resonating with you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to stop there. Let's talk about it for a few minutes, and then we can see if there's some laser coaching we want to do. What comes up for the two of you around this issue of complication and keeping it simple and where that ties into systems? Because this one area, I will say one more thing. This brings in three of the critical response areas. So this is about activating the brain, this is about shifting expectations, and about using systems and structures. All of that, combined. So what do you think?
I think for me, this is Joy. I definitely fall into the bucket of struggling with keeping things simple. I think what is a saving grace for me is that my son is still young, so I definitely have to balance the simplicity. So I've done a pretty good job, like with our token charts, to where we only have like one or two things that we look at, and he can earn what we call tokens, and then that those exchange into money, and he doesn't have to worry about that. But he knows that if he earns tokens, he can go to the store and buy toys after a while. And then we rotate what those things are after he consistently gets, he can see change, like I'm doing my morning routine every day without any problem. Then we change it, but we keep it very simple to where we're only looking at like two things at a time. And I find that works for him, but I have to remember that it has to be simple because when we started off, it was like eight things, and I was like, this is not working at all. So I did get to see firsthand how I needed it simple for us, but then also for him, because they can't expect him to try to manage, constantly thinking about eight different things that he should be doing and just focusing in on one or two things and learning how to do them, consistently and well before moving on to something else. So that's how I try to bring the simplicity in. But he definitely keeps me on the straight and narrow because he's seven. I have to, meet him where he is. And so that forces me to really think concisely about what are we looking for?
Mm-hmm. Well, so as you're saying that, here's what came up for me. I heard an NPR story over the weekend or last week that was just amazing, and they did this research on how do you foster kids that voluntarily want to help in a household, right? That are sort of the kind of kids that step and say, "Yes, I want. Can I do that for you, Mom? How can I help?" Right? The kind of kids we all thought we were going to have before we had kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they did some research, and what they discovered, they did this research on a group of moms in Mexico, I think it was, and compared it to a group of moms in Silicon Valley. And what they discovered was that the key started, and don't panic, it's not totally too late, but a key started for these kids in toddler years. And it was the moms. And I say moms, it was, probably the parent, it was the moms they were researching. It was the moms who were willing to take the time to allow stuff to take time to get done but to include their kids in it. So when they were washing or cooking or clean, you know, whatever they were doing at, with 3 and 4 year olds, they were bringing the kids with them, inviting them to do it with them, and then allowing them to do it the, as well as they could, not correcting them, not doing it for, because it was easier to get it done faster or whatever. They were allowing the space, right? Mm-hmm. And so they were allowing them to do the simplest part that they could do and do okay, but it got them into this mindset of wanting to be helpful and seeing themselves as helpful. And so I know our kids are older and we sort of missed that window.
Yeah.
But there is something about, you know, the simple things and really acknowledging the simple things. Something as simple as, can you take this to the kitchen sink for me? Thank you so much. Right? Engages a sense of connection and buy-in and ease. And so, as you were talking about, you know, they're going to keep us honest on some level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let us know. There's also something about knowing just when we acknowledge the simple things that they do, that can be really powerful for them. So what else? What else is coming up? What thoughts came up as you were as I was talking about keeping it simple? Catherine, anything for you?
Yeah, I think maybe for the organization have 2 or 3 bins that are you want to keep trash and things that you can give away.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this before, but I think that for him that would work better. He, you know, he's a hoarder, but I managed to get him to give away some stuff to that little 4-year-old next door because he likes trains and he likes trucks and, you know, those kinds of things. And I told Tyler, I'm like, well, you think that is something that Ryder would like? Oh, maybe. So it's a way to get him to give things away that someone else would enjoy. And declutter at the same time.
Right. So let's go. I'm with you, and I think that's you're right on target. I want to go back and ask what your thoughts are about this notion of simple versus complicated, and where you tend to get caught up, or how this shows up for you. Is this a problem for you? Is it something you're really good at? Like, what came up for you before you come to solution for him?
Well, I'm really neat, and I have, you know, everything in its place, and he is the total opposite. So I just need to remember that he is his own person, and I have to, like, let it go. But that mess in the, on the coffee table also annoys David. So he's like, David's thing is, well, clean it up.
David's what?
But David's like, well, clean it up. Well, I think the my plan is better than just clean it up. And I can get David to buy in. That would help. Because,
So it's simple for you to stay organized, but you're recognizing that it's not so simple for your son.
Yes.
Okay. And
it's
so...
taken me a while, but yes.
Okay.
I've gotten to that point.
So what do you think it would help David to understand?
Just, I think I need to talk to him and, you know, this is my plan for this. And I think he'll buy into it because he gets so frustrated with Tyler not picking up his stuff that,
yeah
he gets irritated.
Yeah. So what do you wish he understood that it feels like he may not get yet?
Tyler? Or
no,
David. I know he knows intellectually what needs to be done, but emotionally he comes in and he just wants to have it done. And there are points where I do too. I'm like, just clean up.
Yeah.
And David's like, well, he sometimes tells Tyler, well, if you don't clean it up, I'm going to get a big box and just shove everything in there. And then, you know, it's clean. So.
So, right, which is sort of an empty threat, right?
Yeah.
And coming from frustration. It's funny, I did an interview yesterday with John Wilson, who's the executive director of SOAR, which is the other camp we send a lot of people to.
Okay.
We were talking about that very issue of staying connected to your kids and taking that. His recommendation was before you open the door when you walk in the house at night is to pause and catch your breath and remember that your first goal is to connect with your kid. You can get to the stuff on the table and everything else later, but first stop and connect and say, how was your day?
Yeah.
And, like, have that relationship piece first and then
and
then come back to the stuff.
We're good at that.
Yeah, I hear it.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing, though, is that there's for both David and you, this seems so simple.
Yeah.
And for your son, it's not. So... If David were to see this as hard, how would that change his approach? As if he were to see it as really, really complicated, like you really got to figure out all of this stuff, how might that change things? And I know you can't speak for him.
Yeah.
But I'm just sort of, sometimes when we see something in the exact opposite, it makes it clearer what it is.
Yeah. I think if I explain what my plan is, that he would buy into it.
It's, So my question to you, Catherine, is what is it that you want him to understand so that it's not just him buying into your plan, but it makes it part of his approach as well? And you may not have an answer for that now, but that's the question I would sort of throw out to you to ponder. What do you think? What are you thinking?
I'm having trouble putting it into words.
It may be that you don't need to, that you get what you're thinking, and that's okay. Maybe enough.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I know what I'm going in my head.
Okay. That's cool. And that, as long as you've got a path, right? But I guess here's the message I want to share, that sort of bigger picture, which is we can put systems in place, but if we don't understand why, they're less likely to be effective and to last. That's why teachers have so many problems in classrooms, is because they're implementing IEPs and 504s, but they don't really understand why or what they're trying to do a lot of the time. We ask our kids to do things, why can't you just use a planner? Well, they haven't really understood that the point of the planner is to make sure they know what their homework assignment is. Nobody bothers to tell them the why. They just tell them to use the planner. And so what I guess I want to remind you and encourage you is, yes, you can put a plan in place and make sure that everybody involved in the plan knows what the purpose is. That's why we spend all that time at the beginning getting clear on what the change was that you want to see.
Right.
The why. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So where does that leave you on this particular issue? What do you feel like? And then, Joy, I want to talk about the stalling in a minute. But what's your takeaway from this conversation, Catherine?
The, you know, honing in on one thing of a time, like the coffee table, and does not expect him to clean it up on his own and get, you know, David to buy into the system, I think will work instead of just clean it up.
Okay, great. Okay. Is that any action you want to commit to? Is there anything else for you from this? Or does that feel...
I will feel really good if we can do this before the 1st of the of July when we leave.
Yeah, totally get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Joy, what about you? What's coming up for you, or where do you want to look around stopping the stalling?
Well, I mean, I think that I think I know what's causing it, but I definitely need to check in with him and see why he's stalling. You know, is he just tired and distracted, or he doesn't want to go to bed, or kind of what the impetus is behind that. And then I think I have some ideas for strategies or motivations to kind of help with that. You know, he loves competition, so I'm kind of rolling some things around my head about timing and, you know, seeing how quickly we can get through stuff. And with that, you know, he loves to read, that would increase the amount of time that we get to read together at night. Letting him pick the books over summer during the school year, it's a little bit more rigid because, you know, classes want you to read certain things and that kind of stuff. And so those are the kind of things that I'm thinking about of how I can build something in for the summer that will help support or remedy getting rid of the stalling.
Okay. All right. So what do you want to ask him about stalling? What do you want him to what question might ponder, might encourage him to think about?
Yeah, I think for him, I need to wait till it's happening. So at night, which does make conversation a little more difficult, but I know if I ask him in the middle of the day, he's going to be like, what are you talking about? So I think I have to wait till, you know, he is going down for, you know, another stuffed animal or, you know, can't get undressed, and just kind of ask him, you know, hey, you know, what's going on? You know, what are you, it's not really what are you thinking, but, you know, what, you know, I don't know what the right wording is. Why is it, you know, what's taking us so long tonight? Or, you know, is there reasons not to go in? It's always interesting trying to think of the right words because he is seven and you don't want to get too philosophical with him. I don't know. I guess the answer is I don't really know. Usually I do things a little more organic when we're having conversations, but I guess I'd just ask him, you know, is there something going on, or you know why does it take us so long to do this at night?
What I would offer is the question why is not going to be a particularly constructive question, and particularly at that time of night. But might be a good thing to ponder at another time when he's not feeling like he's doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? That in the moment, if you say, why are we, then he may go, I'm not, you know, and get defensive. But at another time, it's like, you know, I was thinking about how sometimes it takes so long to get ready for bed. Why do you think that is? What do you think's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Then he can ponder that on a Saturday morning without feeling shame or blame or any of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Differently than if you're doing it in that moment. So in that moment, it then becomes a reminder. This is what I mean. This is what I was talking about, instead of beginning to get philosophical at that time when he's already.
Okay.
Does that resonate for you?
So, like, if I talk with him about it on a Saturday morning and just have, like, a non-defensive conversation, then what my concern was with doing that is that he wouldn't be able to think back to, yeah, the 20 times that I, you know, did whatever and didn't do what I was needing to do. But when we are in the moment, then I can just say, oh, remember when we had this conversation, this is the behavior that I'm talking about. Is that what you're saying, to make the link back?
You could. But if you're having a conversation on a Saturday morning, it's like, if he doesn't remember, it's like, well, you know, sometimes you want to go get a stuffed animal, or you want a glass of water, or, you mm-hmm. know, like, you know,
yeah.
It's hard. What's going on for you? You know, try to avoid the question why, but what's happening for you? What are you missing? Sometimes I know it's hard for me to wind down at the end of the day because I don't want the day to end, or, you know, getting more and more curious. I know you have a sense of why, but get really curious with him so that you understand why in his language.
Okay.
What it means for him. Because he may want the day to continue because he had such a great day, or he may want it to continue because he's afraid to go to sleep at night, or he may want it to continue because he wants the time with you, or, you know, like, there are a thousand reasons that could explain why he's stalling, because he wants the day to continue, right? So the more clarity you get from where he is, the better the opportunity to then begin to work with him to come up with strategies for improving it.
Okay.
And then, yeah, when you're in that moment, It's not, see, I told you, right? But it feels like, remember when we were talking about, it feels like this is one of those mm-hmm. times where you kind of don't want the day to end, right? Instead of, it feels like you're stalling right now. Because mm-hmm. then you've got a different kind of information to use with him.
Yeah. Okay.
Just a thought. So we're going to wrap up the call today. We've talked about taking aim on some things. We've talked about keeping it simple, sort of applied it to your situations. What do you feel like you were focusing on in this call? And what's your aha or your takeaway? What's your big picture, Jim? And what action do you want to commit to? And what accountability or what do you want to put into place to help you be successful with that? What's your aha? What's your commitment?
For me, it was breaking things down for him to be able to be organized. Not just, clear this off, but having a plan to do that. And we can start when he gets out of school. Because he'll have a week before we go to camp. And so I think that's a manageable time to do it.
Yep. Cool. Awesome. Anything else? Any? Or Joy, anything for you?
I think for me, kind of like one of the ahas or takeaway is just acknowledging more of the simple things. I think, at least for me, we're always working on making something better that, it's easy to forget or simple to forget, all the great things that our kids do.
Mm-hmm.
So just those little things day to day and really, celebrating those kind of things. I think what I really want to make sure that I do and commit to doing is having that conversation with him and really understanding what's going on with the stalling, and to make sure that happens. I'm going to make sure that it gets on my calendar right now for sometime this weekend, because I live and die by my calendar. So
okay.
If it's not on there, chances are it doesn't get done. As you said, people that like to check the box, I'm definitely one of those very structured people. So that the weekend doesn't get away with us and we can really, find out what's going on, what's he thinking about. So
cool. Brilliant. Cool. Anything else for either of you?
I just
want to sort of remind you that keeping it simple is a great way to go into the summer. It's a good time for simple pleasures. And to give yourself permission to enjoy those simple pleasures over the next few months. Like, school year is a stressful time for a lot of us with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And summer is the time where our kids learn best and the time where we can really relax and play and enjoy and where we can teach them things without the stress, of a grade at the end of the term or mm-hmm. of whatever that evaluation process is for a first grader, right? So I just invite you to have a simple summer and enjoy it and connect to each other and have fun. And we will talk to you guys in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Take care, y'all.
Have a great
Bye.
Summer. Bye.